Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Shifting Gears Podcast. I am your host, Justin LaRocque. I am the marketing manager here at Spectrum Automotive Holdings, and this podcast is presented by Spectrum Automotive Holdings. If you are new, if you've never listened to this podcast before, first of all, welcome. Thank you for taking time to check this podcast out. This is all about automotive and focused around dealerships. We cover everything here from F&I best practices to selling in the service drive to how you can grow your career. We recently had someone on talking about women in automotive. So we really try to cover all aspects of automotive in general and have a little bit of everything, a little bit of anything for everybody here on this podcast. So no matter what position you're in or what part of your career, if you're just getting started or if you've been in this industry for 30 years, that's okay. You can find some sort of value on this podcast. With that being said, today's podcast is going to be focused on careers in automotive. I thought that this would be a really good way to talk a little bit about the insight of some of the experts that I bring aboard on the podcast and talk just a little bit about how they got through their career, how they got to where they are today, what did it look like when they first started, and what are some of the challenges that they've gone through. And hopefully in hearing some of that, you, the listener, can take some of that and apply it to your own life, to your own career, and help get yourself over certain challenges or continue to grow with wherever it is that you're trying to grow. So without further ado, let me introduce my guest here today. It is the CEO of Spectrum Automotive Holdings. That's right, our very own CEO of our company, Jim Polly. Really excited to have Jim on. So Jim, how are you?
Doing great, Justin. Thank you so much for having me today. Very excited about all this great work you're doing, and I'm happy to be a part of it.
Absolutely, and I appreciate you taking the time to do so. I know you're a busy man, so appreciate you carving out some time with us here today. Before we get into some of the fun questions for you, one of the things that I want to just kind of start off the bat with to let the people know is, how long have you been in the automotive industry for?
Well, if we go back to when I started washing cars at car dealerships at 13 years old, definitely going to show my age now, but about 45 years I have been involved in the car business, but really involved in the car business. I started selling cars at 17 years old. Wow. So for 42 years, this has been my career.
Wow, that's incredible. So you were selling cars before, obviously what you have built now has come a long way beforehand. So you mentioned 17. What was that like when you first started in this industry, and why this industry?
Well, for some reason, I always wanted to be a car salesman, Justin. Mm-hmm. And my whole life as a kid, I was always selling stuff. You know, I'd be in class and my books wouldn't be in the desk. They'd be under the desk, and inside my desk would be a bunch of toys with little price tags on them. And I'd be selling all my toys to kids with using their lunch money.
Right.
And so that didn't work out too well with the teacher most of the time. But I had this thing that I just wanted to be a car salesman. And so when I was in school and they would ask people what they want to be, you know, you would hear a doctor or a fireman or all these normal careers. Mm-hmm. And then I would say, I want to be a car salesman. And the teachers would always be taken aback. The car salesman, I've never heard anybody say that before.
Right.
And so I don't know exactly why I wanted to be a car salesman, but I love cars and I love selling stuff. So I figured I should just be selling cars.
Yeah, combine the two passions that you had at the time and,
exactly,
and run with it. So that's awesome, because it's always interesting to hear how people get started. And again, for those who are watching this in a way that might be wanting to learn about how they can apply certain things to their career, the way you have growing up and everything, I want, you know, I'm curious how people have really related to something like that, because I'm sure there have been others too who just had this passion to want to sell cars and jumped into it at a young age as well.
Well, people love cars.
Yeah.
You know, cars are, people are very passionate about cars, and they, mm-hmm, they make you feel good, you know, whether you have a nice car or you drive by a nice car, or you go to a car show or you watch YouTube videos. There's just something about cars that are always cool and always fun.
Absolutely.
And, so I loved cars my whole life growing up. I can tell you any car that drove by back in the day, they all kind of look the same today. But back then, they all did look a lot different. And I kind of had a unique situation growing up, because I moved from New Jersey to Florida.
Okay.
Back when I was a kid, and I moved down there, the schools in New Jersey were much more advanced than they were in Florida at the time. Mm-hmm. So I had a lot of extra credits by the time I started high school in Florida.
Okay.
And so my plan was that I was going to leave high school in 11th grade, take my GED test, mm-hmm. and start college the next year, because I had enough credits to do that.
Yeah.
And so I did do that. I dropped out of high school in 11th grade.
Wow.
And I took my GED and I scored exceptionally high, and the principal begged me not to do it. But I wanted to start college early. I wanted to get out in the world early.
Sure.
And so I went and I got a job selling cars. Hmm. Oddly enough, it's a funny story. I went to a Ford dealer's used car lot and I applied for the job, and I asked the guy, how old do you have to be to sell cars? And he said, I don't know, probably 18. So I said I was 18, even though I was only 17 at the time.
Right.
And this was just going to be a summer job before I went on to college to pursue some type of a career. Mm-hmm. And so sure enough, I started selling cars. And in my very first month, I was the top salesman.
Oh, wow.
In the second month, I was the top salesman. And in the third month, I was the top salesman.
Back to back.
And I'm making all this money.
Yeah.
And one day, the manager calls me in his office. And he says, Jim, I have to let you go. He said, we have one of the salesmen here. I guess you came to this dealership before you came to work here looking at a Corvette we had on the lot one day. And he has all your information, and you're not old enough to work here.
Oh, my gosh. They discovered your truth.
He said, the sales manager said, this is the worst day ever. I have to fire my top salesperson.
Right.
And he said, give me an hour. Let me see if I can figure something out. And back then, all the salesmen got a demo, a car to use, mm-hmm. when you worked for a car dealer.
Oh, okay.
Very different today. Mm-hmm. About an hour later, he came back and he said, I have some great news. He said, I don't have to fire you. You're just not old enough to have a company car. So if you could get here every day, you could stay.
That's
and perfect. That was the beginning of my automotive career. I never did go on to college. I stayed there and I sold cars successfully. And within a few months, other dealerships in the area started calling me.
Oh, wow.
And I didn't really know anybody. I was just a kid selling cars.
Right.
And sure enough, one of the dealers really wanted to meet with me. And I went and I met with him. And I changed dealerships. And I went as a salesperson at a Toyota dealer down in Florida. Mm-hmm. And it was a great career. I worked my way up from salesperson to a sales manager, mm-hmm. and ultimately got into the F&I department, where I would ultimately spend the rest of my life in some way,
yeah.
you know, touching the finance division of car dealerships.
Yeah.
And so that was really where my career started, was as a car salesman in South Florida in 1979.
Wow. That is awesome. And it's inspiring to hear that you climbed the ranks, that this is not something you just, you know, obviously you didn't just start as a CEO with where you're at right now, but you went through all the different processes. And I think nowadays, you know, some people see success and they think that it should just be an overnight thing, or that they can just have this immediately. And that really isn't the case. And you've shown that you've put in the work, you've gone through the time, and you've grown as you progress throughout your career. And it's perfect that you bring up F&I, because that was one of my next questions I wanted to ask you, was when did you make this transition between selling vehicles to actually going more involved with F&I in general?
Well, when I worked at the Toyota dealership, and I was top salesman for a few months, their F&I manager was going on a long vacation for a couple of weeks.
Oh, okay.
And so they said, would you mind filling in for him? Mm-hmm. He'll train you for a couple of weeks before he goes. And so I said, great, because I was a young guy. I was looking to advance my career. I was thirsty for knowledge at that time. And so he took me in, and for a couple of weeks, I would work a few hours a day with him, and he was teaching me the ropes. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, he went on vacation. The 2 weeks that he was gone, we did twice as much income as anybody had ever done. You know, he didn't actually come back to that position.
I was just going
to
ask.
But they did say to him that you could work for Jim if you want.
Oh my gosh. Didn't go
over very well. But that was how I started as an F&I manager.
Right.
So that was really where I got introduced to a large F&I provider like Vanguard and Spectrum are today. And that company ultimately, after a couple of years, recruited me to go work for them.
Okay.
And that was really when I made the transition into this side of the business that we're still in today.
Wow. Okay. So that's interesting how, I was wondering how you made that transition and really going from specifically working into the dealerships and selling cars to where, you know, this F&I. So you had this passion for F&I when you first got invited to, when that guy trained you. And he went on vacation. Like, was it something you felt like you felt good about? You enjoyed it? Did you like that process?
Well, think about it. I was just a kid.
Right.
I was 19 years old, I think. I didn't know what F&I was, other than as a salesman, I knew that that was the guy that had to get my deals approved and get all the paperwork signed.
Right.
And without him, I didn't get a commission. So I didn't know a whole lot about it yet.
Yeah.
And certainly, I'm a numbers guy. Mm-hmm. I love numbers, and I love selling, and I love learning. You know, I was thirsty for knowledge. Mm-hmm. And so, as he was teaching me how to do it, I realized what I thought was, you know, very difficult and detailed was really pretty easy.
Yeah.
And back in the day, the computers were so old-fashioned. It was just a completely different situation than it is today.
Sure.
But really, the process is still the same today.
Right.
It's still a customer sitting down in that office with an F&I manager, with him taking care of their paperwork and trying to sell them products that would benefit them, hopefully, over the course of their ownership.
Right.
We just didn't have as many products back then.
Sure.
And so as I watched him doing deals, you know, with customers, I would sit in there and listen, and then he and I would role play. I really loved it. It was something that just caught my attention and I felt very comfortable doing. And it was really the next step for me. You know, I wanted to continually move up the ladder and learn different positions within the car dealership.
Sure.
My real dream was to be a car dealer.
Okay.
You know, not to be working in at an F&I company. I didn't even know about that opportunity at that point in time.
Wow.
So in my mind, I was working my way through the ranks of a car dealership.
Yeah, absolutely, man. So that really you really jumped in on that opportunity when that man was going on vacation. It seems like it really shifted gears for yourself to get to where you are now.
He and I are still friends today.
Oh, good.
We're still friends today, 40 years later.
Nice. Very good. Very good. That's really cool. So now, obviously, you have this passion. You've really dive into this F&I world. And start working for this other agency. Down the road, I know you eventually decide to kind of go off on your own and do your own thing. So tell me a little bit about that, you know, part of your life.
Well, as I transitioned into working for an F&I company, doing very much what we do today, mm-hmm. you know, back then in the late 80s and throughout the 90s, eventually one of my customers asked me if I would be interested in being partners with him in a dealership.
Oh, okay.
And my dream to always be a car dealer was coming to fruition. Mm. I was a young guy, I was in my 30s, but yet I had this potential great opportunity and I took it.
Yeah.
And I went and I bought into several car dealerships and I was a car dealer for a few years. And I have to say, I went in at a tough time. Mm. I was a young kid. I definitely didn't know enough to be successful.
Oh, wow.
I thought that I did,
sure,
but I definitely didn't.
Yeah.
And so I learned the hard way. And ultimately, I realized that I enjoyed what I was doing much better. Mm-hmm. And I found a great opportunity to transition myself back from the car dealership world, mm-hmm. being a car dealer, back to the agency side and F&I consulting side by starting my own company.
Okay.
It was a big risk,
yeah,
and a big chance.
Sure.
And I started that company in 1979 in New Jersey.
Wow.
And it did not go too well at first. As a matter of fact, after 3 or 4 months, we were already out of money. And we were about to go out of business.
Oh, my goodness.
And we had no more money to put in. Everybody put in whatever they were going to put in.
Checking your pockets.
Yep. And so I went to a very good friend of mine who was a car dealer at that time. Mm. And I said, I need your help. You have to sign up with me. If you don't sign up with me, I'm going to be out of business. And if you sign up with me, everybody's waiting to see if you will sign up. And if you do, everybody else is going to sign up. I'm not leaving your office today without you signing. And he did.
Wow.
And so did everybody else. And that was the beginning, really, of Vanguard Dealer Services. And Vanguard went on to become one of the most successful F&I agencies in the country. Still growing today, we're 20, let's see, it's May. We are 22 years in business now.
Wow.
And so it's been quite an amazing run when you think of where we started.
Yeah.
Many of the same people that were with the company, you know, when I started it, mm-hmm. are still here today.
Yeah.
And are the people that are running this company today that have been here 20 years, 21 years, 22 years.
That's incredible.
So it really tells a lot about the story of Vanguard and
yeah.
how it has become Spectrum Automotive Holdings. Mm-hmm. We've had about 4 employees, I think, when I started.
Wow.
And I think today we have 17 companies and 1,000 employees in 38 states. So it's a pretty amazing what we've accomplished over the years.
Absolutely. And congratulations. Those numbers
Thank
are
you.
Huge.
Thank you. It is exciting.
Isn't yeah.
it? We haven't even scratched the surface.
We're still
growing at such a rapid pace.
Right.
Like every year we keep doubling and tripling and saying, wow, how are we going to... We're too big now to double. And sure enough, we do it again.
Yeah.
So it's very exciting. And I'm loving doing this. And I'm loving watching the people here grow.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of the people come in at one position. And now I see how they've escalated into these management positions. Mm-hmm. And they're growing, and their life is growing, and their families are growing.
Yep.
And we take a lot of interest in that with our people.
Absolutely. I love that. I love seeing that. And that's incredible. Incredible story to see how you really transformed this company into what it is today over these 20, 21 years that you've really launched things. So absolutely incredible. One of the things I wanted to ask you, when you were talking about when you were down and out when you first started, the 3 months, you know, 4 months in, and you guys basically went broke right off the bat. You know, I feel like obviously in life we all face challenges and things that we're trying to get over, and sometimes life hits us and we're not ready for it, and we have to figure out, you know, how to get around that or over that situation. What was it for you that kind of, I guess, kept you going in that moment? Because I imagine that must have been a hard time at that time, discouraging at moments. So what kept you going there?
Well, if you have drive and you have ambition and you have the will to succeed, you will not let yourself fail. You will find a way. People find a way,
yep.
you know, through tough times. And
sure.
not necessarily whether or not you stay in business, but, you know, you have them every day.
Mm-hmm.
You have them whether, you know, it's your job, it's your family, it could be illness. We just went through the worst of the worst, right, with COVID,
mm-hmm.
and very difficult on many people and their families.
Sure.
But they found a way. Might not have been the smoothest road to get there, right? Very bumpy along the way. People are still struggling
sure.
today as we start making our way out. But it's the human will of survival,
mm-hmm.
of not letting yourself fail, of pushing yourself that extra inch to get to the next level.
Yeah.
And so you have to really want something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to have a burning desire inside of you to succeed, to push yourself hard enough to push through those difficult times.
Yeah.
Because it's actually a lot easier to just give up.
It's true.
Giving up is the easiest.
Yep.
You know, it's very easy to wake up in the morning and not work out and say, oh, I'm not going to walk downstairs and get on that treadmill. That's the easiest decision in the world,
right?
And so it's hard to do the things that you have to do to be successful.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't come easy.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of self-drive, you know, and ambition
mm-hmm.
and willpower to really be successful.
Yeah.
So you got to do it while you can.
Absolutely.
Because as you get older, it gets a little harder every day.
No, absolutely. And I appreciate those words because it's always nice to hear something that can inspire others. And again, as people might be listening to this, whether they're just starting out in the career of automotive or maybe they've been in here in this industry for a few years, I think the words that you said there can apply to anybody at any age to help them progress and continue onward.
The key to anyone's success of getting to the next level and getting what they want is to have a goal in their mind, mm-hmm. a very clear set vision mm-hmm. of what that is.
Yeah.
Whether it's an annual income that they want to make, a position that they want to attain, mm-hmm. a house or a car, if that goal is clearly implanted in your head and you see it every day and it's all you think about, you will attain that goal.
Yeah.
I have been through many times in my life where I've had that goal mm-hmm. and I have gone far beyond that goal because you always outperform the goal. I've also gone through many times in my life where that goal wasn't very clear. Maybe I just attained a goal. Sure. And the next step wasn't really clear yet, not etched in my mind. Mm-hmm. And I found myself just kind of treading water, maybe even going backwards a little. Until one day I figured it out what the new goal is, then every day I could see it. And it's not something somebody has to tell you. You have it. It's in your head. It's right. your vision for what you want in your life.
Wow.
And you need to be very specific about it. So I tell people, you know, people take the word goals very, oh yeah, I got a goal. What's your goal? My goal is to have the best year I ever had in my life.
Right.
Okay, that's probably not going to happen.
Very vague.
Right.
Yeah.
But my goal is to make $125,000 this year. Mm-hmm. I always wanted to make $125,000. And all I think about is that $125,000. Like, I don't sleep.
Right.
It's there when I wake up. It's there when I go to bed. It's all I'm thinking about. I'm calculating it every day how to get there. You're going to get to the $125,000.
Right.
Whatever the goal might be.
Sure.
It has to be something that you are passionate about. And it's what you think of all day and night.
I love that. Well said, Jim. I'm fired up now. So thank you for that. I
you
love it.
You guys need some new goals.
Yes.
A little higher now.
I love it. I want to bring up a little bit about, we're talking about Vanguard Dealer Services.
Sure.
Now, at some point, you decided that you wanted to sell your company. And obviously now you are where you are as CEO of Spectrum Automotive Holdings. Tell us a little bit about that transition and how your life changed.
Well, Justin, I never wanted to sell the company.
Mm-hmm.
What I wanted to do was grow the company into a large national automotive conglomerate.
Okay.
Because I knew we had the potential to do so many different things.
Yeah.
Ultimately, all appealing to the automobile dealer, because there's so many things that we can bring the dealer.
Mm-hmm.
And as a small business, all right, at some point, you just can't go any further.
Right.
So what I really went out to do was to find growth capital. I wanted to find a great partner who could buy into my vision of what could be done and what we could build.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was very fortunate. I went out into the marketplace and I found a private equity firm that believed in our vision
mm-hmm.
for the company. And Vanguard was really just the first part of the company because that was the first company that we started.
Right.
And so over the next few years after partnering with the private equity firm,
mm-hmm.
they put in all the capital I needed to grow. And we bought 7 or 8 companies in the first 2 or 3 years.
Wow.
And we were able to invest in people and systems and technology. And the company started growing at a very rapid pace.
Mm-hmm.
And as it kept growing, all of a sudden, bigger private equity firms really saw the value in our company. And now bigger firms had an interest.
Wow.
And so we did it again. We did a second time. We took in a bigger private equity firm with even more capital.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how we went from a company in 2015,
mm-hmm.
when we did our first private equity transaction, we had Vanguard Dealer Services and 25 employees. We had one company and 25 employees.
Right.
It's 2021 now. We have 17 companies and just over 1,000 employees. So in just 6 years, look what we have done. Wow. By bringing in the right capital growth partner who could also bring their business acumen to the table.
Yep.
And provide us with all the technology and analytics and different ways of doing business that we probably would have never done on our own.
Right.
And so I found the value of having partners with different skill sets to be able to help us grow to what we're becoming now.
Wow, that's incredible. And those numbers, hearing those numbers, it's like in 6 years,
time, pretty amazing.
Yeah, and just imagine what another 6 years is going to bring you.
Exactly what we say, but we do think that within the next 6 years, we're going to double this again.
Yeah.
And it's very exciting. Keeps it exciting for everybody. So I love coming to work every day.
Yeah.
Because every day is a great opportunity to do more.
Yeah.
To do things that have never been done in the industry before. To set the pace and set the standard.
Yeah.
To bring the best products and services to dealers. Mm-hmm. Because that's what we do.
Right.
And to continually improve what we're doing.
Right.
Right. We never just stay the way we are or do what we do. We are constantly growing and constantly trying to stay ahead of the curve.
Wow.
And these are tough times, right? These are very trying times.
Yeah.
We just went through COVID.
Sure.
And everybody knows, you know,
nobody
escaped COVID being an extremely difficult situation.
Yeah.
In the early days of COVID, nobody knew what was going to happen,
right.
How bad it was going to get. It was a doomsday situation.
Yeah.
And we fought through that and we continued to grow,
yeah.
Which was really quite amazing. And to be able to have a staff that's never worked from home and transition an entire, at that time, 15 companies, 1,000 people from working in an office to working at home in 2 weeks' time.
Right.
And we did it.
Yeah.
We did it successfully.
Yeah.
As did a lot of other businesses, they found their way.
Yeah.
You know, restaurants had to find a way to survive, right? Lots of businesses somehow had to recreate themselves overnight to have a chance at survival.
Mm-hmm.
And the humans are amazing how resilient they are.
Absolutely.
How they find a way. And so we're very fortunate to be where we are today. And,
yep.
You know, we've been very fortunate with everyone's health. We've had, you know, a few situations throughout the company. But overall, we've done very well. We've been very supportive of that. We've kept things as COVID safe as we could for the sake of our employees,
Sure. Knowing
that eventually we will all be back here in the office. And so I'm very excited to sit here vaccinated with you today
Yes. In
the office, face to face. You're the first face to face meeting without a mask on that I've had now in 14 months?
Same here. And first for the podcast too.
This is a great time in our lives.
Absolutely. 100%. And you know, the light at the end of the tunnel, we are getting through this. And as you said, and really in your message even earlier, is finding a way, whether it is with your health or with your career or family or anything in between, applying that mentality of just focusing on what it is that you're trying to go after and really just executing on that.
You have to have the drive and ambition to do stuff.
Yeah.
You know, it always amazes me how salespeople, whether it's in our business, it could be in our own company.
Sure.
It could be anywhere. Have the opportunity to wake up in the morning every day and go sell. And they don't.
Right.
How about the people that don't? Why? This is your job. You're a salesperson.
Right.
And your job is to go out and find business and sell customers. Whether you're selling cars, you know, and you're making phone calls to prospects, or you're selling F&I products like we are, and you're knocking on doors looking for dealers, that's what you're supposed to do every day. But believe it or not, most people don't do it.
Right.
You know, 20% of the salesmen produce 80% of the results
Right. Throughout
the world. It's an old standard story, right? 20% of your people produce 80% of your results.
Yeah.
And wouldn't it be great if we could get 40 or 50%
totally.
Of those people to jump on board with that. And so we're working hard at that, trying to continue to raise that number up,
Yeah. You
know, create that desire for them to want to go out and sell.
Yeah.
But really, it comes from inside. You can't teach that to somebody. You can't teach a desire to succeed
right.
to somebody. We can teach you the product, we can teach you the steps,
sure.
we can teach you the processes, but you, everybody, has to want to succeed in order to succeed and be good at what you do.
Yeah, absolutely. And well said. Like I said, it's incredible to see how a lot of these things have been applied to your life, hearing all these different, you know, aspects and challenges that you've overcome throughout your career. So also, thank you for sharing that, Jim. And I have one other question for you here before sure. we wrap things up. And that mainly is, when it comes to somebody new that might just be entering this automotive industry for the first time, whether they're working in dealerships or they're working at an F&I agency or any other aspect of different departments within this industry, what would be some advice that you might give to somebody who's just getting started and is looking forward to progressing their career?
Well, you know, if there was a person starting to sell cars today in today's world, I would say first thing is you got to really apply yourself, number one. Can't take it lightly.
Yeah.
You have to really apply yourself. The thing that really makes a salesman successful, whether they're in a car dealership or they're selling products for Vanguard, is product knowledge.
Okay.
It makes you feel strong about the product that you're selling,
yeah.
makes you feel confident about the company that you're representing. And that comes across really strong when you are talking to a customer.
Yeah.
Have you ever gone in to a department store like a Sears or something to buy a washer and dryer, and the guy is an expert and he tells you each washing machine, how long it takes to dry it, the size, he knows everything there is about this Whirlpool washer and dryer,
yeah.
you're gonna buy that washer and dryer.
Yeah.
And conversely, you've gone into stores and you went to buy an appliance and the guy knew nothing and you walked out of there and you didn't buy it. What's the difference between being a successful salesperson or not? So it doesn't matter what side you're on. The first thing that I would advise people is learn all you can about the company you work for.
Yep.
So you know the story and you feel good about that company.
Yeah.
Be an expert at product knowledge. If you know those two things, being a salesperson is relatively easy.
Yeah.
You know, the rest is now you integrating with that customer to try and build a little bit of a rapport so you're comfortable with each other,
yep.
and leading them to the right product or service that you're offering.
Yep.
But if you can become really involved in learning the company and learning the product, you're gonna do great, certainly at the early phases of learning a new position and a new sales position for sure.
Yeah.
That's the keys.
Excellent, I love that.
No shortcuts.
Right. Yeah.
Shortcuts, all that does is shortchange you for success.
Yeah.
You'll never hit your maximum potential.
Yeah. Very true. Very true. Well said. And I appreciate the advice. And anybody who's listening right now, I hope that is something that can resonate with you wherever you are in your career.
Well, whoever's listening is in for some great times.
Yeah.
The world is coming back right now.
Yeah.
The second half of this year, we're going to see sales of everything in the world go to extreme levels. It's going to be the greatest, most fruitful time for people to go out, be successful, make money. So take an interest in what you're doing.
Yeah.
Learn that company, learn that product, and go out and get it.
Yeah.
Don't sit around, go out there and get it. Don't wait for it to come to you, and you will have huge success.
Yeah, absolutely. Jim, I have to say, I'm ready to sprint a mile right now. I'm ready to just take on the world because I love what you're saying here.
That's great. I'm glad we got to do this today.
Absolutely.
Thank you for all that you're doing.
Yes.
How about that department we have in marketing? I mean, today you are a massive marketing division for 17 companies nationwide.
Yes.
So thank you for everything you're doing. And I look forward to doing this again in a year when we're getting bigger with more stories to tell.
Oh, absolutely. And Jim, trust me, we want to pick your brain some more on other topics at some point, so we'll have you
anytime.
On at some point. Well, I really appreciate your time. Real quick before you leave, where can people find you if they wanted to contact you? Are you on social media?
You know, I'm on LinkedIn.
Okay.
So if anybody wants to talk or ask a question or whatever, I'll just write to me on LinkedIn. Happy to hear from you and happy to write back.
Perfect, perfect. Now I'll make sure to put your information in the description below of this podcast here, so anybody looking to reach out, they can do so.
Thank you.
Again, thank you so much for your time, and we appreciate it. So
stay safe.
Yes.
Have a wonderful year.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Jim.
Bye now.
And there you have it, folks. Another awesome interview in the books, this time with Jim Polley, our CEO of Spectrum Automotive Holdings. If you are looking to get in touch with Jim, definitely reach out to him. Find him over on LinkedIn. Definitely has a wealth of knowledge, and hopefully a little bit of his story and background has helped you in some way, shape, or form where you can apply that a little bit more to your life and your career as you're continuing to grow. I know for myself, I'm very excited and ready to take on the world with hearing some of the stories that he had to share with us here today. If you like what you heard, make sure that you hit that subscribe button, hit the thumbs up if you're watching it over on YouTube. If you're not following us over on social media, make sure you do that as well. We are on LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, so you can find us on those platforms also. And if you have any questions, please don't hesitate. Reach out to me. Again, my name is Justin LaRoque. I am the marketing manager here at Spectrum Automotive Holdings, and you can also find me on LinkedIn as well. I put all the information in the description below of this podcast if you're listening to it online or on our website or on YouTube. And again, we appreciate you all taking the time to listen. And until next time, we will catch you on the next episode.